This is your NPR news station, 90.3 WBHM and 91.5 WSGN. I'm Andrew Yeager. 5 years ago this fall, the economic development group Birmingham Business Alliance announced Blueprint Birmingham. With a big marketing push, it was hailed as a 5-year strategic plan that would change a region that so often is left lagging behind. With that time frame passed, we talk about what the plan did in this week's Magic City Marketplace. Joining me is the editor of the Birmingham Business Journal, Cindy Fisher Crawford. Good morning, Cindy.
Good morning, Andrew.
Remind us what Blueprint Birmingham was about and how thinking about it changed over the last 5 years.
The crafting of this plan was really well known to everybody in Birmingham in the time leading up to its unveiling in September of 2010. And one of the things that was said by leaders was that, you know, we've tried this before and it never worked. People kind of went into this one hopeful but really unsure if it would make a difference. The goal with this one, with Blueprint, was more economic development based. Blueprint was supposed to determine what industries Birmingham should focus on and which jobs we should recruit. It would outline which areas to develop and with what. Originally, the Business Alliance said it would be a 5-year plan, but over the years, it's kind of switched to what it calls a living plan, which kind of gives leeway to get some of it done over a longer time frame, but also give a reason to scrap some of the plans they felt wouldn't work.
Well, what could you call a success from this plan?
So we looked at 20 action items that were really the meat and potatoes of the blueprint. There are some that they got done, like getting more national attention and publicity for Birmingham's successes. They got the charter schools passed in the legislature this last session. They hired several economic development gurus that they said they would do. And one of them was building an entertainment district downtown, which is here. You know, it's uptown.
Well, where did you see the plan fall short?
Okay, so there's some items in the blueprint that were well-liked that didn't move, like looking into consolidating key departments that were duplicated between the city of Birmingham and Jefferson County. Some innovation recommendations were not done, like developing a fund for more patents at a UAB. And then they dumped a few ideas, like establishing a political action committee to push Birmingham efforts in the legislature.
Well, leaders with the BBA are quick to take credit for the downtown resurgence in recent years, but how valid of a claim is that?
Well, you know, there's a lot of things that could take credit for the downtown boom. You know, the economy dug itself out of the recession, so banks were more willing to lend again, and the historic tax credit approved by the state that encourages developers to take a chance on old properties. None of that was in the blueprint. The one thing they could hook onto would be the country paying more attention to Birmingham as being a cool place to live and to visit and ultimately to invest in. And there has been an uptick in media attention for Birmingham as a foodie town and a great place for millennial entrepreneurs and all these studies that place us higher than outsiders thought of us before.
Well, also, representatives of Uber have been negotiating with the Birmingham City Council for several months now over changes to a local ordinance which would allow ride-sharing companies to operate in the Magic City. A previous round of negotiations in 2014 failed to produce an agreement, and if this negotiation drags out, there are other options for those who want to see companies such as Uber and Lyft here. First, Cindy, the change could come at the state level.
Right. You know, support is so high among the community for Uber that there are efforts around the state being made to go around the cities that don't want it or worry about how it's going to impact their taxi and limo services. One way to go around it is to go through the legislature. There was a bill introduced in the last session that would give the power to regulate transportation by what they call network companies, which includes ride sharing to the state. You know, that got overshadowed by the budget problems. But there's confidence that it could be taken seriously in the next session if it doesn't get approved before February.
Well, another option would be to look at the suburbs.
Right. There's another effort to go around Birmingham's problems with Uber by having the surrounding suburbs approve ride sharing. And that's actually how Portland got Uber. They agreed to allow it after being left in the dust by neighboring cities that had let the service come and it was really successful.
Well, what else could ride-sharing supporters try?
Some say it's possible to pass a temporary approval while the city hammers out the logistics of allowing it in the code permanently, if that is truly what is stopping them from allowing it to come in the first place. That option here seems slim, though, when talking to some city officials who say that it wouldn't solve the major conflicts that they have, which is insurance issues and some other roadblocks that have stalled Uber's entrance in Birmingham for at least a year.
Cindy Fisher Crawford is the editor of the Birmingham Business Journal. Cindy, thanks for coming by.
Thanks for having me.